Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons. Want to thank Nesson's Lou Merlone again. And I do believe Lou Merlone's doing some games for WEEI this year, so you'll be able to hear his passionate opinions on our airwaves.
He knows more.
He does know more. He said it. I agree with him. I was a little surprised he said it, but he knows more. That's a baseball legend right there. You just heard that final set of calls, and I know we got all over the Heat for their gag job to close out their postseason quote-unquote run a couple nights ago. The way that game ended for the
That was not a gag job. That was a phone-in.
Well, the Pistons challenged it, not for a totality of a game, but for a 30-second span or whatever the hell it was, because the defense by Thompson, who fell over, as I said, like Bill Buckner trying to field a ground ball, looked like he didn't even have ankles, never mind ankles to break, or was wearing these like old-school Forrest Gump braces on his ankles. Like, I mean, Brunson's good. But like, you looked like it was a WWE performance.
Overwhelmed by the
moment.
Here.
Yeah. And then the other end of the floor, after Brunson hits the three, which probably the game winner either way, but I don't know, Detroit, maybe get a shot off.
Get a shot off, yeah.
Maybe don't pass it to a guy who bobbles it and bumbles it out of bounds. Like, the execution there for the Detroit Pistons was embarrassing.
That was something that the Celtics, when I point to the TV, I don't want you to see how.
Yeah, when you point, all look over like there's something important
talking
we need
about
to
Packers
see.
Mini
like Bill Belichick resigns at USC, UNC or something came across the scroll.
No, Matthew Golden highlights are up.
Who gives a rat's katukus about Matthew Golden?
I was
Golden.
Mostly pointing towards that, just not because I wanted to talk about the Packers,
Jesus.
But just about the television itself, just saying, how many times did we watch a Celtics game and see them try to make that one extra pass that led to Detroit fumbling the ball? I like decisiveness on my final play of the game. I don't want them like, ooh, let's look for the perfect look. Guess what? The perfect look, more often than not, does not exist. So you have to take what is given to you.
And I actually thought, in a weird way, this doesn't totally carry over. That was an example of team not ready. Young team not ready. Because they could have won the game prior. Like, that's a team that could have advanced in this series, but that was sort of the embodiment and the vision of a team that's not ready to close out a game in a playoff environment. And I just wondered down the road, even though both of these teams have stars, are we going to be saying or seeing something similar with Cleveland or with OKC? And I know you got Donovan Mitchell, who I actually think is more clutch than Jason Tatum. And you got SGA, who is certainly making a name for himself as an MVP caliber player. With
Angry
that young
Tatum
team.
Is a different, we're seeing a different level, a different beast is out in the playoffs.
We'll see if we get him. And my question was, maybe fans from New York could play a role in lighting a fire under the Celtics. Well, maybe the fire lit under the Celtics will be a realization that this is one last good run for this team as it currently is constituted. And maybe that makes Tatum angry and want to win, or angry that they're going to blow up his team, because a Shams bomb, Shams Charania, yesterday came out with some information that We'd previously heard the sale is coming close to being finalized in the next week or so.
The final monies have been secured.
And Shams says once that happens and the power changes, well, there could be some changes for the Boston Celtics.
And no one around the organization, from players to staffers, would be surprised if there are changes coming to this roster. Because when you think about the new collective bargaining agreement, there's restrictions that come with trades. There's restrictions that come with freezing of draft picks. That's all stuff that they're dealing with right now. They have five players right now scheduled to make $28 million or more next season. That's a league record.
So
they would have a salary bill of $500 million. That would be league history amount. And I think the Celtics knew when they traded for Jrue Holiday and they traded for Kristaps Porzingis, they'd be staring at this in the face this summer. But they're, you know, none of these changes are the top of mind for the Celtics now. They can't be. And this is obviously the most talented team in the league. I think a lot of people would agree with that. So these are good problems to have, but the league is bracing for some level of change to come to this Celtics roster in the offseason.
Okay, Shams, why?
Because money.
Oh, because I thought money. We were winning titles. Mm-hmm. And I thought Wick Grosbeck, when he was on the Greg Hill show, said it wasn't about money. He actually threw the number $500 million out there. Hey, you know, the $500 million bill. It's about basketball limitations and all those.
Is Wick in charge now? Is he the deciding
yes.
factor?
Oh, yeah.
But is it his money?
Staying? No, it's never been his money. That's the funny thing with his existence.
But he was in charge as
governor.
It
never been his money.
But he was okay. Shepherding the family funds, as we came to learn, whereas now Billy the Chiz over here is going to be making the final decisions.
So the best way, in my opinion, to keep this team together is go win a title. You tell me Billy the Chiz, as you like to call him, which sounds dirty. We're going to move on from
Billy Banners.
Billy Banners.
Billy Banners.
Billy Banners. Billy Bankroll.
Okay, Billy Bankroll. Billy North Shore. Billy Georgetown.
Billy Bucks.
Everything. Billy Awkward Guy sitting next to Wick and Steve.
Wow, that's a long one. That's a good one. That's concise.
Yeah, you might have to go to the back of the t-shirt to make that one work. You think he wants to come in, win a title, and blow it up? If they win a title, don't they have to keep the band together?
It's not even really his title.
Yeah, it's going to be, well, he'll probably take credit for it and be on the little podium and all that. But
I still think that would be the best awkward moment. Like, where do Wick and Chisholm stand next to each other?
So that's how I look at it. If the Celtics go out and do what many of us have expected and projected that they were going to do all season, win a title. And I know the favorite thing has sort of changed and there's talking heads out there, gambling sites, whatever. They're not the favorite. But they're the defending champions that are playing really good basketball. If you go out and win back-to-back, so famously we had Pat Riley saying, let's do it again, three-peat, all of these ideas. They're going to be like, yeah, we won two, but you know what we're going to do? Shake the whole roster up because we got a bill coming. That makes no sense to me. So if you want to keep the band together, Brad Stevens, and I know he is creative and he might look at it as a challenge.
I mean, like he's the forerunner now. He admired Popovich for so long and now he set the trend for him because he went upstairs and was more successful upstairs, which Popovich is doing now down in San Antonio.
So successful that he's going to win back-to-back titles, something no one in Boston has done since Bill Russell.
All right, let's pump the brakes. It's a long road.
No, I'm just saying if he does, this is theoretical.
Sure.
He's going to then blow it up and make significant changes. Why?
Because of money.
Because this window was successful.
Yes.
This window of winning has been successful. Mm-hmm. Let's reset it and be ready
to go. Pull the plug while it's cruising right along.
Yeah. As opposed to say you get to the Eastern Conference Finals or the Finals and you lose.
Oh, different hypothetical.
You don't think that there are some other players you either have on your bench, have in Maine, or can find a way to acquire that would be able to fill in enough of the gaps as Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum get better and better by the day that all of a sudden now it's just like, well, we're a one and done team after winning back-to-back NBA titles. Like they're going to have to make they don't want to pay $500 million. Nobody wants to pay. It's a lot of money. That's a massive loss.
Yeah, so $7 billion, but you're buying the team for a reason. Like I don't know. I don't think, and I think Boston's a place where John Henry has learned a tough lesson.
But he doesn't have the same penalties that basketball does. The second apron is
But John Henry won four titles.
Yep.
And still, when you went cheap, people turned on you and said, we don't like you.
That's not cheap. That like having a $200-something million payroll is way different than having a $500 million
payroll. No one's saying you have to keep that forever. We're saying as two-time defending NBA champions, why in God's Celtic green earth would you choose then to break it up? Because if Wick, who's remaining as the governor, is a man of his word. He said it's not about the money.
I know.
He said
we'll
it's about the basketball.
No.
He said it's about the basketball limitations. About, you know, you can't trade this, your pick, your that. Who cares? Keep the roster. You don't need to make changes. Why do you need to make changes? You just won the NBA title. Keep the band together. When you want to make changes and need to make changes, make changes.
But can't we sit the fence just a little bit?
No, it's radio. Pick a side.
But do you not believe this team?
Hey, Ordway, pull the fence out of your bum.
In the 2025-26 season.
He used to host in this slot.
Some young fans didn't know. Mm-hmm.
Can't the Celtics? Do you believe the Celtics need to have this exact same roster to win again next year?
No. But to get from $500 million to whatever your palatable number is,
$200 million,
you're not using a scalpel. You're using one of those double-sided King's Richard Fair axes,
Andy,
and just swinging the hell
out of it.
Got a doge it.
Hey, Game of Thrones.
Yeah, you got a doge it. Good call. See, brings in his man Eli.
Actually, you know what we're going to do? We're going to call
Stiz Trump.
No, it's going to be DOBE, Department of Basketball Evaluation.
Yeah, and you're using...
Hey, Stiz,
he often does.
Stiz, your mic can just go... Just if you turn it to the left, no one has to hear you.
So we're not talking about minor changes if you're really driven by finances. You're talking about significant changes, big money changes.
Yeah, but Drew Holiday is also going to be one step closer to AARP than NCAA. We were never sure if Porzingis was here for the long haul. Al Horford may just say, you know what? I'm going to go to the Caribbean and pull a running scared, open a bar, and I'm not coming back. Who knows?
You think that would happen? Big Al?
Didn't he win
back-to-back at Florida? Now he wins back-to-back in the pros, and he's going to say, you know what I'm going to do? Not
be historically
great.
Stop playing basketball.
He looks fine to me.
I know he looks good, but he's got one more year of managed minutes and load management, one more year of putting off the inevitable of just, you know, going gently into that good basketball night.
And his contract is up, too.
Correct.
Just worth noting.
And he also,
we
got
to cut costs, so we better let Al go. Yeah, that's the literal definition of cutting
costs. That's literally.
I hate this idea the key would be, the first thought would be cost, second thought, winning.
All right, let's go to the Celtics pregame show. Andy Hart joins us. Well, I guess the team's going to cut costs now. A bunch of pussyfooting babies around here that don't want to achieve greatness.
I mean,
if you could foot the bill, go ahead.
I can tell you, if I ever had $7 billion or the ability to collect $7 billion.
Okay, so let's start said fantasy off with. So I have $7 billion.
Right.
Okay.
And I have the ability to buy the Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing I'm not going to do is alienate the fan base to me by cutting costs.
People have been expecting this. This is like the sequence from episode
two
of The Last
of
Us. Everyone expected us. It's still shocking when it arrives, but everyone expected it.
Wick said 2 years. No team will probably stay above the second apron 2 years, blah, blah, blah. Well, they're not going to.
Okay.
They can stay 2 years and go for three titles.
All right.
Don't be preemptive. Let's go to the phone. 617.
I was
going
to say, why don't we talk to the real fans outside?
793, because they don't have microphones out there.
Okay,
that would be awkward. It'd be a one-way conversation.
Do you guys think the Celtics should trade off some players this year to get under the salary?
Thank you, shaking heads.
Okay, everyone.
Thank you, shaking heads.
All right.
You are right. Fitzy and Dan are wrong. 617-779-7937.
Don't agree with the angry man, please.
Let's go to Nick in the car and see what Nick has to say about this idea that the Celtics could make changes. What's up, Nick?
How are we doing, guys? Love the show,
great,
as always. I want to first give credit where credit's due. Terp was on a couple weeks ago. I called in asking the same sort of question, and he had that same, like, listen, Chisholm might be willing to buck up and keep this team together. So before any of the Shams worry came up, that was, you know, his take. I just think the one thing we are very lucky to have right now in Boston is the fact that if we did break up this team, I still think we could live in a world where we're good enough to compete for a three-peat, right? Like, Peyton Pritchard just won Sixth Man of the Year. If Holiday has to go, I think, sure, we lose a bit on defense, but I think Pritchard's at a point where you can start for this team. The shooting that he brings, the grit that he brings, you know, and the contract that he has. So I think there are worlds in which if Kristaps had to go, if Holiday had to go, we could still survive. And Brad, we trust to make a three-peat reality. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. A very
obviously
logical person. See, if you're
everybody
named Nick, you think clearly and logically with fiscal limitations in mind.
No. Everybody obviously knows any team can win the title. Oh, we all have aspirations. We're going to put a roster together. But if the roster has won two titles in a row.
Can I tell you one thing real quick?
Doesn't that roster have a pretty good chance to win three in a row? And Peyton Pritchard.
You better hope
you don't play the Magic because he sucks against them.
Okay. Well, a lot of people did not name Jason Tatum, number one. And number two, the Philadelphia 76ers
yeah
technically cannot win one.
Yeah, there's something yeah, no, off.
They're not quite built around a big baby who's not a winner and skulks off the court every series he ever plays in the playoffs. That's their
Now it finally made sense. You don't like big guys.
No, I love Shaq's one of my favorite athletes of all time.
You don't like Embiid. You don't like Giannis. You don't like big whiners.
I don't like big whiners. That's a good call. And this Celtics idea that they need to... I'm a little whiner.
Ah.
Ironic. A big-headed whiner. But I'm not tall and big.
Continue.
No, this idea, yes. I understand that just because you change the roster doesn't close the door. But didn't Brad Stevens, and by extension Danny Ainge, work really hard to put together the roster that they loved?
And they wanted to win a championship. Mission accomplished. The banner is hanging out.
Oh, just one?
Up in the
rafters. Just one? One and done?
That's the start.
One and done. The Brad Stevens story as the basketball operations president.
Oh, I didn't know they were eliminated this year.
Oh, Dan.
This year they're fine because they kept the roster together.
Dan, I was going to say.
Yeah, and then they're selling the team.
At the end,
right?
You can repurpose your funds.
But Brad Stevens
from within
is a partner.
Have a championship caliber
roster. Wait. Brad Stevens is a partner with Chisholm.
Not financially.
No, that's what Chisholm called him. Partner.
Sure.
He called Wick partner and staying on as governor. So the leadership is actually staying. The experienced leadership is staying. The money is changing. The bankroll is changing.
No question.
That's what's changing.
Absolutely.
And I don't understand why that person who's smart enough to put together this deal and get enough money, I don't know how much money of it is actually his own, how many hundreds of millions.
My guess is about half.
Okay, so he's got $3 billion. We'll use Fitzy's numbers. I have no idea whether that's accurate or not. $3 plus billion
Radio, no
is
one needs
really
accuracy.
His money. And the first thing he wants to do is start to tear down or take maybe a less obvious or direct route to fan support and success. That makes no logical
sense. He's not trading Jaylen Brown. He's not trading Jason Tatum. He's doing a financial reset to position this team for a longer run of success. And
so he'll trade Porzingis and Drew Holiday, the guys that put those guys over the top. Because how many titles did Brown and Tatum win?
How many games did Porzingis play last year in the finals?
How many titles did Brown and Tatum win?
They made it to NBA Finals.
Oh, made it to?
Mm-hmm.
Just like Luka and Kyrie made it to the finals last year.
They did?
They don't actually give you credit.
It's
It's when you win.
Yes,
that
I understand how.
And did Porzingis contribute to the finals?
He had one good game.
Oh, he dominated. He was best player on the court for a while.
It was an exciting.
What are you laughing at, Dan?
It was an exciting half for everyone. But you're also underselling what Dan had pointed out as well, other people being able to contribute to this as well. Like your Peyton Pritchards, like the bench. If for all you know, it could very well just be Drew Holiday, who is getting up there. I'm not going to say he's long in the tooth, because that tooth would be kind of hooked up. Mallet finger, is that what they call it?
Yes.
Yeah.
It could be like Drew Holiday and Hauser. And are you gonna grab your basketball-shaped oily torch and go, how dare you trade Sam Hauser
for
times on the dollar,
our collective ignorance will be exposed.
Oh,
so
just here, yeah.
Holiday and Hauser
took over 2 hours. Finally, wow!
Holiday and Hauser take you from 500 million. They shave 200 million off the books.
And Horford, yeah. Well, there's a lot. Yeah.
Well, you're adding. Now you added. Now Holiday, guy who was the veteran presence that you extended before last postseason,
the Triple
to help
H
put you over the
plan
top.
Is probably the best one. Hauser, Horford, and Holiday
is a horrible plan.
Okay.
Chisholm.
You are a halfwit if you don't give him any credit for seeing the potential of all the other players.
A question based on a fact that you raised. So Brad Stevens is a partner in all of this, right?
Yes.
He is a guiding hand in trying to keep his team relevant. So
this is kind of like what he loves doing as well.
And so you aren't, as the new owner, trusting Brad Stevens to create a more financially responsible roster that can also win a championship in 2025-26?
It's a great question you ask. If Brad Stevens comes to me, the new owner, and I was like, well, I was just going to write a $500 million check. I thought you'd want to keep this roster together that just won two titles. And Brad Stevens goes, we've gotten a little old. We've gotten a little predictable. We've gotten a little stale. And Brad Stevens says, these are the things I want to do to alter this two-time defending champion roster.
I got a new Derek White kind of trade where I'm going to go fleece somebody
for
Romeo Langford.
Whoa. I'm all in. I don't think that's anything that Shams and other people have implied. They're implying that this is coming from costs, ownership change, finances, money. If Brad Stevens, the head of basketball operations, not the CFO, not the chief financial officer, if he comes in just as the head of basketball and says, oh, I want to make these changes. Drew Holiday got old? Because I think Drew Holiday looks a little old at times.
If Bill Chisholm walks down the hallway.
All in on it. You think that's what's happening? You think that's what's being reported?
I think Bill Chisholm is going to ask Brad Stevens, I need you to cut costs while also keeping us relevant.
Yes.
Stevens being very...
Yes, that's exactly what's going
to
happen.
You started with Bill Chisholm asking Brad Stevens to cut costs. That was not the hypothetical you just gave to me. The hypothetical was Brad Stevens comes in and says, I want to retool the roster. Brad Stevens, tool away.
Speaking of H words, does anyone else listening have a headache?
I don't.
So if you no kidding.
That guy might. He looks like he has a headache.
So if you're Bill Chisholm and
that guy definitely does with the Marine shirt on.
Would you just give me a second, for God's sakes? If you're Bill Chisholm, you go to Brad Stevens and say, I have the asset that is you, your analytical brain, your ability to be able to survey the landscape of the NBA and try to find ways to trade 50 cents and get me back $1 and $1.25. He's done it before. What did he trade? Andy, would you please? My God, what are you, 12?
You just made me throw up a little in my mouth.
I was going to say, that's
we're cutting costs, and I'm asking you to give me 100% return on 50% investment.
And the Brad Stevens
that the Bruins, the losing Bruins, the losing Red Sox, or that. The losing Celtics?
My God, if the two of us left, right? Let's say we turned off our microphones.
I would argue with myself.
You would an hour later,
couple
you
of those
would
guys
be in
would
here talking
in.
To yourself. And these people would be like, this sad man is not, like, he's not talking to anybody.
617-779-7937. We're going to step away from this argument about the Celtics, the direction of the franchise, and why they would possibly make changes if they're on course for another title, to talk to a man who likes to argue in his own right. Angry Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal, will join us
angry.
Next year. Angry. Always angry. He is an angry, skinny.
Very happy. Yesterday was his birthday. He was in a fine mood.
Angry, skinny little man. Mike Giardi will join us next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
Back here at Fenway Park in our Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studios, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and F-Series. Hurry in to get employee pricing on the full lineup of vehicles. Ford, from America, for America. WEEI Afternoons, our favorite Friday afternoon guest at 4:30. You know the name. It's Mike Giardi, and you also know the best open for a phone hit in sports talk radio. Roll
it's it. It's time for Mike Giardi.
Yeah, like stank, you never
stank and stunk.
The bulging in his disc in his back. The bulging disc in his back.
What do you gain by keeping Bill Belichick around?
I want to see as much Drake May as possible.
Angry Giardi is here.
Wiggy appears to have a bit of a man crush on Cam.
I don't know if you want to take the cheese again.
Mike Giardi, folks, is an angry man.
I'm not pissed today.
I've got you by at least 2 inches.
On Boston Sports Original, WEEI.
Mike Giardi, how are we doing this afternoon?
Allergy season is in a full effect, so you know, I'm fighting through it like a trooper that I am. You know, you got to be a warrior in this game, and that's what I am.
Okay. Well, hopefully somebody got you some Zyrtec for your birthday. See, Andy, it helps when you butter up the guest by saying, like, happy birthday. I hope you had a nice birthday.
Yeah, I don't care. I saw on Twitter that his boss said that Joe Milton is not a good dude. Do you believe Joe Milton is not a good dude?
I never got that experience with him, or had that experience with him. So, whoever he talked to or whatever his experiences were, that's what he's got. I would just say my thing about Joe, and I think it's one of the reasons why Joe ended up going in the sixth round, aside from the fact that he still didn't know how to play quarterback after 6 years in college, is that Joe's very immature. So
yep,
I think
too.
The immaturity could be at times maybe confused with not being a good guy. Like, you just... You know, I don't know. He seemed to totally get it, you know, and he never got in college. And I think in this first year, he didn't necessarily get some of the teachings that they wanted him to put forth on the field.
Yeah, like, don't be a pain in the ass. That's always a good lesson to start with. But, you know, hey, what can you do? He's Dallas's problem now. Mike, we haven't had a chance to connect with you. Here we are only now, a week removed from day two, 8 days post Will Campbell in 2025 with your New England Patriots. So your general overall feelings and thoughts on the draft for the audience at large, and who was your favorite pick?
I mean, it was a good draft. I think I hate the grades thing, but if you
sure.
put, like, you got to do, I'd say like a B, you know, because for me, I still have questions about the first overall pick. And if the first overall pick turns out to be a franchise, then I almost don't really care what happens after that. To me, that'd be an A. But I still have questions about whether that's what he is or if he's just going to be an average tackle or going to have to kick inside. And to me, that sort of sways how you view the draft. I do like the Trevion Henderson pick. I mocked him to them a couple weeks prior. I think it was a clear case of best player available. You know, maybe that they weren't necessarily hunting for a running back that high. But when he's sitting there at 38 and they look at their board vertically and horizontally, they said, dude, he's the best. You know, we were going to take one anyway. He's the best one, you know, period, of all the players we have rated at any position right now. Just let's lean into it and let's take him.
Love it.
Mike, is there a pick further down the board for the Patriots, potentially even a day three pick, that you think is going to have a bigger impact in 2025 than maybe people are giving them credit for?
I really like the Braden Swinson pick. I think if you looked at, you know, talked to different people around the league, then you looked at some of the mocks, like he was a borderline top 100 player. In fact, I know in some cases with people that we respect, guys like Daniel Jeremiah and Dan Brugler, that's where he was. And to me, it was also the first move of the draft where they took a guy that maybe doesn't fit the whole kumbaya, everybody's pulling in the same direction, team captain, this sort of thing, you know, where they've clearly made character in the off-field stuff. You know, they still need good players, as Mike Vrabel likes to remind us, but, like, they've clearly made that a priority. Swinson's a guy who butted heads with his coaches, and, you know, I've done some digging on him, and I was told, like, he's a good kid. He's just really passionate, and sometimes that passion is misplaced. And there's also, you know, again, there's a maturity thing. We're talking about it. I think he's a 22-year-old kid. But I really like his physical abilities. I think he understands how to get after the passer. And I think that's a place where they're a little lean. So I think he's going to get an opportunity, if he can pick it up quick enough and show that he's competent against the run, to get some playing time at edge.
Boston Sports Journal's Mike Giardi here with us on WEEI Afternoons. Drake May spoke to the media yesterday. Elliot Wolf made some comments about maybe seeing better leadership from him this year. Forget about the on-field playmaking and all of that. As the face and the leader of the New England Patriots, where would you say your confidence level is at with Drake May?
I mean, it's definitely going to be a process, right? And it feels like last year, I don't even think it feels like it was last year. I think there was, well, Jacoby's going to start. That's how it's going to go. And, you know, we know Mayo said he outplayed him those last 2 weeks or whatever. May did outplayed Brissett. It was almost like that entirety of training camp, with the exception of post-practice work with Polk and Baker and some of the younger receivers, that it was, I'm just content to sit back and let Jacoby be the leader. And then when it was time for him to take over, then I'll sort of exert my, you know, my leadership and my will on some of these guys. And, you know, it was a unique season in a lot of ways, between the coaching staff and the inexperience and the struggles and everything that went on. And so I think, yeah, he could have done a better job. I don't say it as like that's a knock on him. I think it's a young kid trying to navigate a pro locker room that was going in a bunch of different directions. And it feels like, again, between the, you know, just Joe Milton's not here to be a pain in your butt anymore. And, you know, we've tried to improve the offensive line, but we've done it with high character guys and Will Campbell and Morgan Moses and sort of on that line of, like, it just feels like there's more of a direction, and it might be easier for a younger player to sort of stand in front of that now and be like, most of these guys want what I want, and that's to win. And I think it's just easier to lead that way, as opposed to, you know, as it dissolved last year and it was like, I'm worried about my next contract and I'm worried about this. And, you know, I'm not playing enough and I'm going to bitch about that. Like, there was just a lot of different things there that I think was tough for a young quarterback to navigate.
So, Mike, 11 draft picks, 18 undrafted free agents, which just, I mean, they're basically almost just brought in a whole new football team at this point. Now, I don't know how many are going to make it from either respective class, but if you were, let's say, who right now on the active roster, would you say like, check to see if I'm renting, or I would really try to ball out in OTAs and minicamp because they might be coming for your job?
I think wide receiver is clearly, you know, again, I don't think that they've added this, or at least we don't know if they've added high-end talent. We'll see what Kyle Williams is. We'll see what what Diggs is when he comes back from the ACL post. You know, he's over 30 years old, like what that looks like. But in general, they did add better bodies to that position. I was saying the other day on TV, it was like, oh, they're like the 23rd or 24th best room in the league now, as opposed to being like the worst in the league. So to me, that's a step in the right direction. It's still not what you want it to be. But if I'm Booty, Bourne, Baker, like, yeah, I'm a little nervous, because I think there are four guys that are locks. And then how many are you going to keep? Not going to keep seven this year. They kept seven last year to start. That's not going to happen this year, because there's more talent on the team, period. So, yeah, there's a real competition amongst guys that, well, I mean, Booty's proven to be an NFL player. The other two, you know, who knows?
Mike, I don't know if you remembered to set your DVR last weekend for the newest episode of CBS Sunday Mornings, but there was quite an interesting interview that came out from that particular program. I'm just curious, you've been around the Patriots for a while. You've seen a lot of change within the organization going back to the Belichick regime. What do you make about the conversation around the Patriots' former head coach?
You know, it was interesting. Same thing, doing TV, and I was like, I kind of want the old Bill back. Like, where's that guy? And then Chris Gaffer. Yeah. I know. Who would have thought, right? But I'm just right. Like, I don't know who this person is. And then Gasper made a point, and I give him a ton of credit. He was very well thought out. And he was just like, no, this is the guy.
Big words.
This is the guy that we saw for the last 5 years. He's like the guy that didn't want to coach anybody other than players he liked. The guy that wanted to only surround himself with people that he liked and knew. You know, to put Matt Patricia and Joe Judge in charge of the offense. Like, there is a kind of a connection to, like, just, I don't really care about you guys anymore. I'm going to do what I want to do. And it didn't work out for him. You know, it's why he's no longer here. And now I wonder, I mean, North Carolina's getting a ton of attention. And I guess you could still say, you know, any attention is good attention. But, like, I just wonder, what happens if they go 4-8, you know?
Like, see ya.
Yeah, I think he might need to go about 8-4 bare minimum to not be see ya at the end of the year. But everyone's talking about it. I'm reading a water-carrying column on ESPN from Dan Wetzel, and we've been talking about it, all these other things.
Yeah, Andy's been doing a lot of yelling in the studio the last hour.
Yeah, a little bit, because when you have the facts wrong in every paragraph of a column on the Worldwide Leader, it's annoying.
Yeah. Can you not hear the birds in the background? Mike's having a very nice afternoon.
And please. He likes this kind of stuff. Don't let him fool you. He likes this kind of anger. He loves hearing other people do it so he doesn't have to. But I'm wondering, how did the Kraft issue resonate within Gillette Stadium? Robert Kraft obviously had a long relationship with Bill Belichick. You had Mike Vrabel, his former player and now 1 year separated replacement in the job. Do you think people are like feel bad for him? Is this karma coming back around the other side? How do you think those that know him and that are still in Foxborough reacted?
I think there are still Bill loyalists in Foxborough, so I'm sure that there is a little bit of like, you know, geez, Bill, don't do it this way. You know, like same thing as I was saying, give me the old Bill back. But I think there's probably more people there that were like, he was a real pain in the ass to deal with. Didn't treat some of his superiors, as we saw with the Crafts, like they were his superiors. And so I'm sure, you know, hey, we were right. We were right to get rid of him. The league was right to not hire him. And now North Carolina, good luck with him and his 24-year-old girlfriend.
Hey, Mike, I know we got to go, but I just want to point you out to this as well. On this very same subject, guys, I just discovered at UNC football. This is how much of a problem it is. Just tweeted out a highlight of Drake May leaping over a defender into the end zone in a Carolina Blue outfit for a touchdown from 2 years ago. And it says jumping into the month of May, like, you know, okay, so we all get the witty wordplay. The comments on this UNC football highlight, the majority of which now are all Bill Belichick and Jordan Hudson comments. It is a mess.
That is what you signed up for. Whether you meant to, wanted to, you allowed it, right? You knew that he was bringing her with him. She was part of the process all along. Mike Giardi, appreciate you joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. Have a tremendous weekend, and we'll talk to you down the road.
You too, guys. See ya.
See you, Mike. Pal. That was Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal, here on WEEI Afternoons. Up next, we're going to touch a little bit more on this Bill Belichick situation. I've been reading a column on ESPN that is annoying me. And our guy Jake in Boston is hanging on the line. And I'm going to give you a big market tease from the call screener More dirt on Jordan. That's next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons.
With Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
I would just say my thing about Joe, and I think it's one of the reasons why Joe ended up going in the sixth round, aside from the fact that he still didn't know how to play quarterback after 6 years in college, is that Joe's very immature. The immaturity could be at times maybe confused with not being a good guy. Like, you just first seem to totally get it, you know, and he never got in college. And I think in this first year, he didn't necessarily get some of the teachings that they wanted him to put forth on the field.
That was Mike Giardi. Not necessarily defending his boss man's report that Joe Milton is not a good dude.
I'm going to be honest. That came out of nowhere.
Also, I continue to ask the question, who is telling everyone he's not a good dude? I'm going to take Bedard at his word. He has a source. This came from inside the building of people that arrived after Joe Milton's season ended and may or may not have crossed paths with Joe Milton once on the phone, if at all, in person, and they're proclaiming he's not a good dude?
After getting to, at very best, first impression level, first conversation
right. Like,
level?
Yeah, I don't know how you can do that with a clear conscience. Like, I'm fine with Giardi. If you want to pull together college experiences, personality, a file that was on hand from the combine. And
yeah, evidence.
He's immature, he hasn't developed this, that. But not a good dude? Not a good dude is, like, that's somebody I don't want to be around.
Yeah, that's a personal attack, not a professional,
yeah.
Not a good football player. That's even worse than not a good fit in our quarterback room.
Right.
That's just straight up, like, wouldn't want to
like
get a beer.
Bad egg, bad seed, like bad actor, bad apple.
Yeah, the right. Iron Man core there is,
yeah.
Like, bad.
That's
like,
the,
you don't
the,
want him.
The arc reactor.
Yeah, you don't want him. Like, that's bad. Bad to the core. I don't care for it, honestly. I don't see the need for it, you know. And I know the person probably didn't tell Greg that with the intention of immediately getting it out there. And like, the story's gone. You traded him. You got nothing for him. The quarterback was asked about him, tiptoed through the answer. He's now the backup to the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. So he might be a backup quarterback, right? Like, he's not
going
to start.
And Drake's excited for him to get the chance to be the backup because apparently
yes.
He wasn't going to be here.
So I just, this whole, I still don't like how this smells, tastes, feels with whatever went on with Joe Milton and why he couldn't possibly have stayed around here in New England. But we'll move on from that.
Weird to me because, like we said yesterday, when the man is described as having a similar skill set to your starting quarterback by your starting quarterback, I think you'd want to have somebody who can replicate most of what he does just in case you ever have to call him in to do so.
But that did go sour and south because that was my whole theory when they drafted Bailey Zappe. And I was like, okay, they're two guys don't have great arms. They're kind of pocket passers. They're not going to run around. The size is sort of like, I thought Bailey Zappe and Mac Jones were sort of similar, a replication, a facsimile for the practice. Maybe,
so what went wrong?
Everything.
Ah.
Zappe.
I'll tell you exactly what went wrong.
Yeah.
Calais Campbell rolling up Mac Jones in the Baltimore game. Oh, and then Matt Patricia. Well, there was also Belichick.
I was going to say more than that went wrong. 617-779-7937. I teased it. I may have driven some listeners away by teasing it, but Jake in Boston.
Usually good mention.
Is here to give us more dirt on Jordan. What's up, Jake?
How are you guys doing? Hey, Fitzy, how are you doing? I mean, your boy Bill has been fully emasculated by Jordan and Linda.
My
like
boy
the last
Bill?
Years.
Get out of here.
Not true.
In Bill we trust.
Jake, are you new to this game that Fitzy plays? Once you no longer have a Patriots logo on, you're dead to him. He moves on. He kicks you to the curb and goes to the next guy. He's a Vrabel guy. Vrabel's his boy.
Yeah, well, thankfully, Vrabel's wife is not all over Instagram. Some new reporting on Justin, Jordan, did a deep dive. But first, I have a pair of stories where I'm extensively quoted on The Blast, which is syndicated by Yahoo and MSN. Just look up.
All right, make it quick here, Jake. I gave you a nice lead-in. Make it quick.
Okay, so Jordan's first Patriots game ever fits within the timeline, November 2021. This is also her first game as a mistress. It was the good guys against the Titans. We won big. Jordan got tickets from Bill and family friends. Jordan was wearing a Tom Brady jersey, of all things. I find that extremely interesting. I also think that during... Guys, you could turn off the clock. I'm giving you some good stuff here.
Thank you.
When
we'll
does
be
that
the judge.
first game, November 2021. which means she wasn't a Patriot homer for two decades. She was fairly oblivious to the whole thing, girl's girl. It opens up and lends the fact that there may be more authenticity to the nature of the relationship than initially intended. I also think there was a politics angle to this. Again, last time I called you, Bill was a broken man. Linda ran him into the ground. Linda said he couldn't get the Presidential Medal of Freedom. He's on this plane, and Jordan the free spirit, and they're talking about mandates and free choice and all this kind of stuff. You go look at Jordan's Facebook page, it looks like Robert F. Kennedy's page in terms of politics. So they might have been on the same page there. And then lastly, in terms of the age gap, and this has been missed, I think we focus too much on this age gap. Jordan's sister, Becca, has a condition called, and I'm going to botch this, dyskeratosis cognita, which after asking ChatGPT to dumb it down, because I don't have a medical degree, basically claims that DC leads to an aging-like process that happens way too early and is sometimes described as premature aging. There may also be a genetic pass-down. So Jordan's perception of this age gap, which may be tied into personal circumstances, is vastly different than what we all deal with.
Thanks for the call, Jake. I do find that interesting if it's true. Dan Ball has his eyes glazed over. He got a little lost in the weeds there, but okay.
I was thinking of what I Google first. He left a lot on the table there.
So this idea
that... What was the
name
of that condition?
DCS or DSC or I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I'll believe him. Let's just take it on the surface.
I'll believe him.
Like, sure. It's what we
Let's
do.
Let's just say he's Talking completely for, right for a sec.
Not completely right, but that there's some truth that she has a sister that has this issue that causes her to age, and maybe she looks at age differently. I don't know if he was also insinuating, could she have something like that? That's, you know, ages her brain or her emotions or her way at looking at age-based
relationships. Makes her sympathetic to or maybe. Only appreciate elder relationships.
Okay, that's fine. That's one side of the relationship, right? That's
Again,
one side.
Just speculating here.
The other side of the relationship is Bill Belichick, right? So, like, it's a two-way relationship that is 50 years apart. And I do, we're not going to get into a whole thing on the Dan Wetzel column. I just will say, Dan Wetzel tells us that we all should ignore this and shouldn't see, nothing to see here, move along kind of thing. And then he has the details of their relationship, which even Bill has been willing to talk about, including in his statement released by UNC, has been going on for 4 years, not 2 years. She's 24. She was 20 when they started, not 22, as Dan Wetzel wants me to believe in paragraph 3 of his column on the ESPN Worldwide Leader. He also says Ted Johnson told WEEI. No, Ted Johnson is WEEI. He's part of this station. So there were a few facts, and I know that's a simple one. I'm nitpicking, but I'm a little bit annoyed. If you're going to wag your finger at me and be wrong, then I'm going to wag my finger back at you, Dan Wetzel. So that's where we stand here on WEEI Afternoons. Not going to lie to you, I was a little disappointed by Jake's info. That wasn't really the smoking gun. It's interesting, this whole...
It's intel. It's part, like, that would be part of the debriefing, but that would not be the actionable information that sends all the field agents
right.
out, like, go get her.
This is more like the profiler, like, putting these little pieces together, like, how did we end up here? Well, this is a factor. Her sister has this, and that could play into her psyche. 617-779-7937. Taking phone calls on Bill Belichick, if we must, because it's the story of the week, and the haters are the winners of the week, according to me in our first hour here on WEEI Afternoons. Up next, though, I do want to touch on the Red Sox. We are at Fenway Park. We are in our Ford Fenway Clubhouse studios. You do have a team looking to bounce back against the Twins tonight. So a little Red Sox Twins chatter here on WEEI Afternoons. That's up next.